Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. This is your Friday Fellowship of Learners. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am so glad that you have joined us this morning. Let us listen to worship music, and then we will get right into our lesson today.
We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all of you will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, they'll know we are Christians by
Jesus Christ,
Hallelujah. Can they tell that you are Christian by your love? That's one of the things our author is releasing in Christ in Crisis, Reclaiming Jesus. And we all know that Jesus was about love. But how was that love expressed? We have so gotten used to our own interpretation of the terms used in the Word of God, even those terms used to describe who Christ was and his character and his nature. And so when we look at love, do we look at it from the eyes of God, or do we look at it from our own eyes that filter through our preferences, our fears, even our lack of understanding and knowledge? And so as a result, does it really look like love? And so can the world know Christ and us through our love and our actions? I challenge you this morning. I'll give you 1 minute. 1 minute, and then I would like to hear from you. Just thinking about yesterday and whomever may have seen you or interacted with you yesterday, would they know you are Christians not by your conversations, but by the love expression of your interaction with them? And so you have 1 minute. Everybody is on speaker, and I do encourage you to share. But more than that, I encourage you to look within. Would they know that you were a Christian by how you interacted with them? Expressing a Jesus love in whatever situation you were in and whatever the circumstances, there's always an opportunity. And it's not even an opportunity. It should be your nature to interact with your environment with love. So the clock is ticking.
Good morning, Lucia. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, I can. Yeah.
Well, I usually don't interact because nobody here but me, but my doorbell did ring yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it was maintenance to check the fire extinguisher. But my immediate response, I'm to be honest, was they just checked it last week, you know, and why four people at the door just to check my maintenance? But I said, well, you got to come in with a mask, one person, please. And one person did, and he checked it, just wiped it off with his, you know, and left. But when he came in after, I said, okay, were your response nice? It was interesting you said this, but at first it was like, why is four people here just to check, you know, the question, you know? So,
okay.
But when they got ready, when the guy came in, I said, oh, that's all you're doing is wiping off? He said, yeah. I said, oh, okay. Well, that didn't take but a moment. Okay. And the only one of them came. And my major response was, four people coming in my house, you know, because I try to keep it, you know, clean and don't want all them, you know. But I realized only one came. He did have his mask on, and it wasn't as bad as I thought, you know. And so my initial response was kind of wondering how this was going to look, you know, but realizing it wasn't as bad. And so as a Christian, my love expressed was to ask before I assume.
Okay, that is a very interesting scenario. Thank you so much. We're going to get back to it. Anybody else?
We know you're out there.
Okay. So we're going to look at Minister Pat's situation. And I thought of some instances for myself. And one of the things that was familiar with Minister Pat's scenario and my scenario was our first response was concerning ourselves. Okay? One of the things that we get caught up with in life is our own self. And that's the very thing that Christ never was, could be said about him. It was never about himself, but it was about the Father and us. And so this love that is a unique love that the earth just doesn't know, it's not filtered through what Minister Pat shared, or there were elements of fear, of concern about her environment in a preference she had. She wanted it to stay clean. Why are there four people? Questioning to find a place of comfort within herself so that this situation could unfold in a way that she felt, okay, I can control this. This is okay. It meets my specifications. Okay? She also gave insight as to, not insight, but conditions. You know, I have conditions. And it's all about her, or my scenario was all about me. And so that's the first thing that we have to become aware of in order to be known by our love. As the song was sharing, as the Word of God has said, it is one another. It is not me and you. It's you and God. And that's the first kind of formula that we need to use to define the love that Christ has, that he wants us to have. Now, this type of love, we're incapable of having unless we, as a book, abide in Christ. Because our nature will always go to protect ourselves, to view ourselves first. And Scripture often tells us that we're to view another man over ourselves. And so that's one of the first things when we go to interact that I believe the ministry of the Holy Spirit will bring conviction in our heart. Is it about me or is it about them? Now, one of the things I think happens in our scenarios is that we start off thinking about ourselves. Then, and I know this will sound a little challenging, and then we start thinking, oh, how can I make myself look better in their sight? Okay, now I'm going to be agreeable, amenable, because they did it my way and this sort of thing and da-da-da-da-da. And my standard was met, the standard that I set in my life to bring comfort to me and make me feel I'm safe. And so those are all of the areas that it is very precarious to be in, because you don't want to end up looking to your standard to bring you peace or safety or feeling of a well-being, but you want that to issue and to it must issue from Christ and not you. And so the author is making us aware of just where, what motivates our actions, our thoughts, even our principles and the standards that we have as we interact with the world around us. And his message is the fact that as Christians, we do not have a Christ love, nor do we have what that love would motivate us to do, which is to address through sacrifice the other person. And so the other person being whatever is going on in the world around us that interacts with us, and how do we react to it. And so he's showing us in a lot of ways that some of our actions, though on a whole maybe we want to say they're okay, but divinely, do they stand up to the standard of God? And as God perfects us and shows us these things, we want to be quick to embrace them, or else what happens, we become callous to these areas that require our preferences to be met, that require our understanding or our interpretation of a situation to be satisfied before we have a peace, a comfort, or a feeling of safety. And so in our hearts, go ahead, please share. I got a text that someone wanted to share, and I encourage you, take your phones off mute. And
okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So, Overseer, I want to share with you, I have a situation where sometimes, you know, as a supervisor in some situations, you know, you will have influences of other people on your management team. And sometimes you allow their thought processes to try to come in and overtake your own thought process, and you know what to do. So I have a situation with an employee who has requested accommodations to be met on the job due to a disability or life circumstances and things of that nature. So something arrived and up yesterday where quickly I wanted to say, you know, just continue on the process or the path we got you on until a decision come in. That's all I need you to do, you know. But when another situation actually came in where he had to actually get on the phone and talk to someone and interview someone to take an application, then the anxiety kicked in, and he was expressing to me the anxiety level, you know, and how it went from him being at a normal pace to once he got that information, you know, his stomach started balling up, you know, his heart rate, his heart started racing and things of that nature. So, you know, so quickly I'm like, okay, so I'm like, okay, there's some things that we can do to probably assist him at this point, you know. So being that I'm not the deciding factor, you know, because I'm not the deciding factor, I had to discuss it with those above me, you know. And so, you know, although a decision has not been rendered on his accommodation, and he has to still move forward with where he's at right now in the process of his workload. There are some other accommodations that we can make for him. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, and
uh-huh.
With the people over me, it seems as if those accommodations did not want to happen. So with me speaking with him, you know, he just said, may I just take leave for the day? And I say, you know what? I will grant that. Put in your slip,
uh-huh.
I will approve it, you know, because he
uh-huh.
has already expressed, I cannot do it. I'm not
uh-huh.
I really can't do it because another,
right.
I am so, my anxiety has kicked in so much that
uh-huh.
at that point, why am I going to force a person to do something that I know
uh-huh.
that he's not going to be able to complete? One, it's going to bring on frustration for him. Two, it's going to bring on frustration for the person that's mentoring him. And three, it's going to bring on frustration for the claimant that he's going to have to call to interview to take this application.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about a person who has just lost a loved one. You know what I'm saying? So
uh-huh.
we're taking what
okay.
is called a survivor application. And usually when you're taking
uh-huh.
a survivor application for a person that lost a loved one, they then, you know, because they're still in the midst, still in shock and still grieving the person that they've lost, they're going to then want to put on you, you know, talk to you about their own grief that they're going through. He couldn't handle that,
mm-hmm.
so why should I give that to him? So,
mm-hmm.
all right. So then this morning it came up with my superior called me and said,
uh-huh.
you know, this is just what we got in the email. He got an invitation to get this live training, and we need to, I need you to call him this morning and tell him that, you know, he need to attend this live training. So I was like, wait a minute. There are some prerequisites
uh-huh.
that he has to complete prior to him meeting that live
uh-huh.
training. I said, and if we look at his training, I don't even believe that he's going to be at that point yet. So
uh-huh.
she did that, and then she called our boss that's over all of us, you know. And when
uh-huh.
he started talking, it was like he understood where I was coming from. You know, you have to step back. You know, at first I wanted to project on my on him, like, look, just do what we
uh-huh.
ask you to do until decision comes through. That's all I need you to do. But,
uh-huh.
however, I couldn't do that because he was at another place mentally. He was in another place mentally and physically. And so I had to let the other person that's over me see it because she was like, how do you go from being taking these interviews 3 months ago to not being – able to do that? Life happened, you know, circumstances
right.
happened.
Right.
It was a traumatic experience
uh-huh.
that came upon him that made it shift, and he got medical documentation
uh-huh.
to prove that. So why are
uh-huh.
we going to go against that? Does that make sense? Or am I talking?
Absolutely.
Or
no,
you know, so
right.
why
no,
are
I'm
we going to go? So why are we going to go against something that we have in writing? You know, so I'm going to be the first line person if anything ever comes up, and if
uh-huh.
he makes a law case against anything, I'm the first person that they're going to come to because I'm his first line supervisor. No matter what
uh-huh.
you tell me to do, I see it in a different aspect. You know, I understand not to be afraid and that we have a right to continue on with where he's
uh-huh.
at with his hiring process, right? And a decision
uh-huh.
has
yeah.
not been made on his accommodations, but there's something that we can do temporarily to bring some relief to this employee so we won't be continued to be held reliable for a at a standpoint where he's saying, I can't do it. My heart rate is going. He's telling you what's happening to him mentally.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you what's happened
mm-hmm.
to him medically. You're not going to get the fall back. I am. You know, so does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah, if
so I hope that was a good example.
Yes, it's an
excellent example that shows the process. So your original response was pretty much like, Minister Pat, you know,
yes.
I just need you to do what I need you to do, okay? You were thinking of yourself. But immediately, because of really love, and that's how we have to see how it transforms us. You were ready to cover his problem. Love covers a multitude of sin, and it does. Now, sin being actually in inabilities, love covers error. Love covers those things that the world wants to judge and condemn. Love covers it. That's the position that we're in with Christ and God. His love, Christ's love, covered us so that God could love us. And then the other thing you chose to do out of that love was to use your authority and go to those that had even more authority. So love brings a boldness to stand for those things that represent our character in Christ. And that's a boldness for what is best for someone. And so, and not necessarily for us. And so it's not the place that made you comfortable, even though God can give you wisdom to express with others the fact that it's to your best to your best, it is in your best interest for us to do it this way. A way of wisdom, a way of love, a way of compassion, okay, a way of understanding, and because it even will eliminate possibly different negative actions that could come to you at a later time. And so this is a wonderful explanation or example of the process of they'll know us by our love. He will know that you're different. He will know that it is you that was the intercessor for him, because I am sure he has an understanding of the nature of others, and it's not necessarily that it's a bad nature, but it's almost a mechanical nature. It is not the nature of love. It is the nature that doesn't want to rock the boat, the nature that will follow the law no matter what, because that's what the law is. And that's one of the things that this chapter, the question of Caesar, is for us. So as a Christian, you know, as one that is hid in Christ, the scripture says, render unto Caesar that which Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. But in oftentimes, to render to Caesar doesn't mean just everything Caesar says you do. And you only, you know, and you whatever Christ says you do. But when they conflict, you have to have the wisdom to know you're going to go the God route, which is the love route. And so there is a opportunity that presented yourself. You had possession of something, and you could have given the power of that possession to the rules of the company, or you could give it to the standard that God tells you as a Christian to live by, one of compassion, understanding of being a listener, and then waiting for the direction of the Holy Spirit to give you the counsel to do what you need to do that will bring you, actually, when you think you look at this, and I know you may be saying, what is she talking about? But it gives you a prophetic edge, because it gave you insight into if you do this, this, and this, what will come. And that's the Holy Spirit giving us a prophetic insight as to how to maneuver, if you will, or interact in this world without being of this world with the power of the world that we are represented, because we are sitting in heavenly places with Christ. So absolutely, it is an opportunity to, even the scripture says, Minister Pat shared in her scenario, give up the right for the wrong. and the wrong not being, it's wrong for you. It wrongs you. And you accept that for the opportunity to impart the love that God gives to us. And that's how they'll know we're different. Otherwise, you respond like everyone else, and you continue on in that vein, and there's no indication of any principle that God gave in his word that would identify us as Christians. And so there's so many instances that sometimes we don't view them like, oh, you know what, it's not that deep, you know, that's my job, and that's how, you know. But even in whatever it is, so that was the maintenance responsibility, and, you know, we could think of a lot of different scenarios. The place don't belong to you anyway. You know, they have a right to do this. You have a right to your, you know, want to keep your house clean and da-da-da-da-da. And yet, the important thing is that I'm not going to say that we all get along. That's not it. But that we all are interacting in a positive way that will point people to God. I'm sure a lot of times when they knock on people's doors, they get all sorts of negative, you know, interactions and difficulties and that sort of thing. But let after they leave us know, oh, there was something different about that person. Because that's that difference where they will know us by our love. They won't know to call it love, but we have to understand that it is love and it is Christ's love. And so it is the only thing. Remember, we can't do it at all. We're incapable of displaying this love without abiding in Christ. And as we abide in Christ, we are giving every opportunity that we come in contact with someone, giving Christ to them. They will know us by our love. One of the things that the author is saying, anybody else, did that make sense? Did this scenario kind of bring the reality or our reality into the Word of God and the Word of God into our reality so that we can identify the things that we do that are issuing from Christ? The fact that we're abiding in him and he is life I live through the faith, son, as he, you live in Christ. You are crucified. Your preferences are crucified. Your flesh is crucified. Your fears are crucified. Because you can feel, oh, well, now I'm not going to be on his side because I can lose my job. And this is not a season. I want to lose my job or get in a place, you know, where I am vulnerable. I'm not going to do that. And yet, believe it or not, what you're doing is saying, I will honor God and he will take care of me. And so I will stand for whatever it is Holy Spirit leads me to do. Sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. We know to do it, but we don't. We don't do it for fear of something retribution to us and our safety and our well-being and our emotions and our family or whatever. But all of those things have to be given to Christ in our, oh boy, how do you put it? Well, in our hearts. I mean, they're not ours. We are separate. We have cut off from the fear of losing those things or watching them or maintaining it, or because we can't. It is impossible for us to do that. We can worry about it, but we can't do it. Only God can do it. And so we have to realize that when you know to do better, and you know because you're in the Word and the Word is in you, that you flow with the Word. You flow with the Word, and that's when this love flows through our lives and our response to lies. So when we see or hear a news report, it's interesting. This book is very current, but it's as though it was written yesterday, okay? And yet it's talking about immigrants and individuals that come hear and our thoughts concerning them, our desires. And, you know, we see in the news how they separated the children from their parents and sending people back, and they're on buses and boats and things, and don't want to let them off, don't want them to come in this country. And I know that God is working in my heart, because I had a very negative response to them. And I felt as though, you know, you see them on the news or whatever thing, you know, demanding this and demanding that and demanding rights for undocumented immigrants and all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, they're breaking our law. Okay. I was thinking of Caesar. Okay. So I wanted to give what's God to Caesar. Because in my preference, you know, they should go back. Okay, they don't like it over here, then don't go. Then go back. Why are you here, you know, demanding things? And some of the things really is because you're breaking the law. You're not, you know, not documented. Get documented then. I mean, whatever. Okay, and yet what they can't in their mind, because our government will think of them negatively and send them back or require things that maybe they're not able to do. But the point is, what is our Christian responsibility? And a lot of people, you know, and I know I've heard people say, you know, when they go to county, you know, their population, the Hispanic population, is great. And they feel they are bumping up the, you know, system. And, you know, that's why you're there all day, because they don't have insurance. And, you know, they're feeding off the wealth of the country and da-da-da-da-da, even though we're there too. But, you know, that's how we feel. We got a right because we're here. And yet none of us have a right. And it was interesting because one of the things that was going on, and the guy mentioned the fact that our history is becoming dark now, you know, when the world looks and sees what we're doing. And Timothy says, our history in America has been dark from the beginning. And I thought, wow. So to see that there was no "in God we trust" in the beginning, because even in the beginning, there was an indigenous people that we took advantage of. I don't say we, but, you know, the founding fathers took advantage of in an extremely negative way. And now they're on, what they call them, reservations that are horrible, horrible. And yet this whole country at some point belonged to them. And so it's this taking and giving to Caesar that which doesn't really belong to Caesar. So even when Christ told them about that coin, he said, look at that coin. Whose face is on that coin? And they said, you know, Caesar. And he said, well, render unto Caesar what Caesar. But I think what we have to realize, the coin itself, the metal, was God. Caesar claimed it by putting his face on it. But what belonged, the whole earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So when we really see it that way, what was Christ saying? Was he being sarcastic? Because they asked, okay, what should we do? You know, and so he gave them a statement, and they loved that, but they didn't know how to interpret it nor identify it. And only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit to realize, you know, even this coin, okay, its very substance belongs to God. If you could separate the substance from the picture on there and give Caesar his picture, that's the only thing that goes here. And even that doesn't go to him, because Caesar is only Caesar, or his face is his face, because it is the face that God gave him, because God created all things. So it just keeps going and going and going to the point until it gets to us realizing that all things are God, that everybody belongs to God, that God loves everybody, and that our response to everybody has to be the way Christ responded to them. And they were wrong. And yet he responded to them in love by dying for them. Now, there were things that he was to establish, and he stood up in boldness against the establishment that was against the Father, because they had distorted and compromised the law that God had given. And so he was a champion for the revelation of what God had given the earth, the children of Israel. And so that's what we're to do. It often talks about civil disobedience. So that's us being disobedient to what Caesar's doing, because Caesar is not doing what God wants him to do. And then how many of us actually become proponents, stand up against, get a boldness to say, no, that's wrong. That shouldn't be that way. We instead become a part of today's society, even in the way we interact with not just each other, but with the government and with the established institutions. We respond a certain way. Is that the way of love? And that's what we have to question ourselves. Is that the way that Christ would have us do? Have we, in all our ways, acknowledged God and then allowed him to direct our path, allow him to direct our actions, allow him to direct our attitude without fear, but with a peace and a confidence that what he does is going to be what's best for me, no matter what it looks like? And this is what Christ said. Even though they crucified him, they killed all 11 of his disciples in a hideous way, horrible way. But it was what was best, because it brought about the love of God into the lives of those they were sent to do. And it's on that level that our love must come through. One of the scriptures says, you have not sacrificed to the shedding of blood. So in other words, you have not loved deep enough. You have not loved rich enough and full enough. And you have not done all that you can do. And so until you have to the shedding of blood, you give your life up for another. And often even giving it up may not mean die, but it's giving up your preferences, giving up your understanding of things that you don't understand for the good of the person. You know, so my growth and development as it relates to immigrants and those that are coming in this country and those that the country respond to and how the country respond to, I have to see it out of the eyes of God. God loves these people. These people, they come in great peril, but they come, you know, it's not like they get in the car and drive across the border, you know, but they're walking there, you know, they're really going through quite a few heinous, horrible things to get to a place, just like the children of Israel, that they view as a promised land, because that's the conversation they have heard about this country, which is interesting, because that really isn't so much the conversation this country says, but that's what the world sees. And so they're drawn here for whatever reason to escape something that's probably beyond our understanding. We think we got it bad here, and we have no idea, and we can't have a conception even of the conditions that these people live in that come here. And I remember the first, I won't say the first, but one of the first concepts that I had to experience to get the right understanding of the nature of Hispanic people, I heard they were lazy, you know, and so, you know, whatever, you know, why do you want to hang out, they're lazy? And then I thought about it, I said, been looking, and God will just let you see when you open your eyes and your mind to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's like, in what way? Everywhere you look, wherever they are hardworking people. They're doing things we don't want to do. the we can't do because our pride or whatever is, I'm not doing that. And it's like they will find themselves doing that. They're no more gangs and you know, crime than any other race of people. I think that one of the greatest misconceptions is they glorify one aspect of Caesar and crime, and then they condemn another aspect. But the, what do they call it? The gangsters, you know, that were of a, you know, another race were glorified and even done so in movies and whatever things they put forth to us. And yet when they're of another color and they're doing the same things as in gangs or whatever, then it's a very negative thing. And so it's all these precepts that have these standards that cause this hate, fear, and violence in the world today because of the separation of even unequal and unjust way of treating, thinking, and presenting different groups of individuals. Questions, comments, insights, experiences, testimony. And I'm getting so much better.
Thanks for insight and truth, truth, because I know this morning God is so good. As I was praying, I said, he brought me to ministry of one another, you know, to that,
okay,
to all those, you know, to what minister members of one another. But before that, I was like, they didn't call, they didn't email, they didn't text, they didn't let nobody know, these, you know, they didn't fold people, and they all knew, and, you know, I said, So I said, thank God that he will show you the light, because as I thought about ministry of one another, God's going to put people in your path all the time, and you must show love, you know, not think, oh,
yeah,
I'm going to get COVID. No, you got your mask on. You know, only one of them four are going to come in here. So you're okay. And then if you got to mop your floor, you know, just mop your floor. Yeah, your back might hurt, but
right,
get over it. You know,
right,
so it's always a better way, a more excellent way to obey God and to see that that could have been a way to minister to one another. You know what I mean? But then I had to realize, you could have said, welcome. I hear you all are the new maintenance people here now. You know, welcome. Because they probably ain't getting that, because I know the next person I heard her saying, can you all come back? Because I'm not ready, you know, for her door. So, you know, we have to learn how to show love.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. That's wonderful, wonderful insight and sharing. And just viewing the scenario in a variety of ways. And then seeing, as you say, there is not that it was wrong, but if there's a better way that releases love, you know, how much different is a person's day when someone smiles and says hello, as opposed to frown and say something negative. It really does release in the atmosphere. It says one of the things, anybody else? So it says one of the things that Christ did. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I was just, good morning, thinking yesterday when I was waiting at the hospital, this ministry was on in the television. And, you know, he was just talking about the different things that happen, you know, in life and in the world, and we don't understand. We will never understand why God allows certain things to take place and happen in your life and other individual lives. and we ask, you know, we ask questions about, you know, what if he did, you know, why would he allow this, and, you know, different stuff like that. And when you were talking about, you know, how about this land and the people that was on this land and how the people came and took it from them and then put them on reservations. And, you know, I often ask God, and I often wonder, you know, why certain things has happened in history to, you know, certain people. And, you know, I haven't got an answer, but, but I always, you know, my man, I do wonder, you know, well, Lord, you know, why? You know, and then I was reading, and what was the scripture? I don't know if that's why, but you know the scripture where it talks about the sins of the people or something I was reading in the Bible about different things and God, you know, different things coming up from the people and stuff like that. But then I said, well, Lord, I don't know. But it I'm not going to say trouble me, but sometimes I say, well, you know what? I can see why some people, not that it's right, don't believe, don't believe, because they're wondering if I'm a Christian and these things is in my mind and they're not a believer and they mad.
Right.
I said, oh, you know, I can kind of see why they think like that, but in coming to the knowledge of who God is and so forth. Now, you have to really hold on to what you believe because the enemy can come in and cause you to lose it all because a little, you know, what's that, the older people say, little foxes, you know, something about little foxes. So I guess at some point, different ones have been, I guess, I don't know if it's every race of people have been in some type of situation. I don't want to say bondage, but.
It's the bondage,
Yeah, and then I say, well, you know, why is it that, one race of people think they supposed to have it all and everybody else is there is beneath them. You know.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I think that that is not a question that every person probably at some point has entertained and thought about. And I and as you were speaking, I know I have, and I say that's why I brought it up. And then I, when you look at the history, that's one of the wonderful things about the ordination, the history of the church is also the history of the world. And so even when you just read what's in scripture, just the especially the New Testament, for there's always somebody that wants to be in charge. There's always that, because that's what happened in the garden. Adam did that because he wanted to be in charge. You know, the enemy said, you can be like God, just eat this fruit. And obviously he wanted to be like God, so he ate the fruit. So there's always somebody that has their foot on somebody else's neck. And that's because they really do want. We may say, well, you know, Adam wasn't that bad. Yeah, he was. He really was. He was no worse than Hitler and no better. And we may say, why? Because he defied God. And what he did brought on an environment, because mm-hmm. he released the devil on earth. That's what it is. You know, so, and that in itself is why we chose and we choose every day that, you know, that we have been alive. We have chosen. We have made a choice. And mm-hmm. our choice has not been God. We can see a wrong and say nothing, or we say something to each other, but we don't do anything. Then that is going along with the wrong. We could say, no, I don't agree with it. Well, then what do? You don't just passively, quietly sit and watch and talk about it. You get up and do something. Well, I can't because it's this one. Well, he gave you power. Okay, you can. He gives you the boldness. He gives you the mind of Christ. Yes, you can, but what did you do? Nothing. You know, how many times have we been asked to march in a thing or go, you know, protest here, make it people aware of this, that, and the other, even, you know, Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, or, you know, did you write your congressman, did you, you know, did we do anything other than watch the news? And as Christians,
But even in that, I think, now this is just me, I think that, and I know what you're saying, but I think that you still have to be led to go in those type of situations, you know, like marching.
Ah, but see, this is the thing.
But,
that's not the only thing. There is something that we have been assigned to do we have not done. Now, maybe you aren't supposed to march, but were you supposed to call somebody? Were you supposed to write a letter? I mean, and there are many things that we think about. I'm going, I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm not going to do anything. You know, even if it's not watch something, if it's not, don't buy the product, whatever it is, there's something. And we have refused to make that sacrifice. And I think that when we look at, and that's what the author is saying, We don't view these choices we make on a daily kind of common basis as big deals, okay? We don't view them as being a part of the problem. But that First Corinthians, if my people would humble themselves, in other words, get to the destitute, realize you don't have nothing, you aren't nothing. Get to that place, humble yourself, and then ask me. And we'll say, oh, I pray, but have you humbled yourself? Have you gotten to the point that all your preferences are gone, all of your hopes and dreams have shifted to the will of God? Have you gotten to that place that you don't value your life over the life of another? Have you gotten to the place where you think all people are equal? And very few people think all people are equal, because if nothing else, you'll think someone else is greater than you. You know, we'll look at, ooh, I can't go there and say that to them. Who are you? Okay, but all people are equal and equal in the sight of God. And so, but we don't look through the sight of God. All men are not equal based on the standards of the world. And we then are following the standard of the world. Or there would be a boldness that would not limit us from doing anything with anybody or saying anything, because that is the authority. Remember, we've been given this authority on earth to bind and to loose, and we don't. We'll say, well, I prayed about it. There's more than prayer has to have action. That's a passive something they call it. But anyway, and so there has to, there is more. And we often say, well, I don't know what it is. Then read the life of Christ, because there was always something he did in situations. Oh, boy. Anyways, conflict all over the world. And so I think that when we just earnestly sit, that's why I say take 1 minute and see your interaction and whether or not it was in love. Because if it isn't, then we're part, that's part of that humble yourself and pray and turn from our wicked ways. There's too many things that aren't God-honoring that we still value, and we do them, or we believe them, or it's part of our, I don't say our understanding, but it's just a part of us, because, you know, that's the way it is. That's what we say. No, but then change.
When you say we have been given the authority to bind and loose, elaborate more.
Well, you know, the Bible says, if you, Elder Roberta, bind up, say, I'm wrapping this up, and it is going to be made neutral and no longer have influence or effect in whatever the situation is, when you bind it up, heaven will bind it up. And if heaven binds it up and says, Roberta don't want this to happen no more, this ain't happening. That's it. When you loose and you want the love of God to flow in the hearts of, I don't know, some sinner somewhere, I don't know, whatever. Whatever you want to loose. Huh? What's that?
All mankind.
Amen. On the all mankind. Now, when you loose it, remember, you're not just saying it. You are loosening it. You ever loosen a knot that, you know, you work it, working it out, and then it becomes loose. You see what I'm saying? So it's something we're doing, and when we do it, then in line with God and his will, then heaven is our, I won't say our backup, they're our lead. You have the resources of heaven to bring it to pass. And heaven is on your side with it. And when heaven makes a decree and a declaration, when heaven says, they said that, we're doing it. Angels,
now,
go at it.
Wait, I was trying to see in the instance of when you were saying we don't do or get involved in certain things. I was trying to see that in those instances.
Loosen and binding?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you
know,
I
when
understand
you were
that.
Mom, and or writing a letter or some of that, would you say some of that as a hold is on the church, not just the individual?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the church is the individual. You know, I'm going to share.
Well,
this.
So, I mean, as a whole, the church as a whole, the natural, if I can use that, the church as a body, not as a living individual. Let me, is that better if I say it like that?
Yes. I don't know if what you, when you say church, you're talking about
a
congregation.
But I'm, yes, the yes, come together as a whole.
a belief. Not yes.
Act as one limb of the church.
Okay, I understand. Actually, no, I understand what you're saying. And one of the things that we're going to find, if we really look at it and ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight, people that, you know, it's just birds of a feather flock together, okay? So the congregation, a person in a congregation generally, okay, is in line with everybody else in that congregation. You basically believe the same thing. You have the same values. You prefer this kind of music, or you prefer this, or you worship like this. It's the greatest place of segregation in the world, where we choose our preferences. And because of that, then the congregation, or the building, or however you want to put it, doesn't have that. Well, it has that as its nature. And so you can look at it and say, but you know what? This sister goes and do this, and this brother goes and do that. Okay, but everybody's not going and do it, and everybody's not supposed to. But is everybody doing what they're supposed to do? And that's the thing. Some aren't doing anything because you're doing it, so there's nothing for me to do. And I'm saying that's not true, because even if it's to the point of there's just so many things. When someone comes in that's different, we respond one way. And there may be two people that don't, but the rest do. And so that's what I'm saying. So those that respond negatively, do you confront them? Do you confront them like, you know, you shouldn't have done that? No, more than that. You know, bring the word of God to them and, you know, I'm going to say condemn them. But, you know, and you are urchin, then you can't be an urchin no more. You have broken, you know, the law of love, and you can't do it. You know, and do we stand up? Oh, no, you can't do that because then we won't have. And so, you know, if you set everybody down that is an adulterer, then they won't be here. You know, but that's not how we feel. Well, you know, okay, then we have not humbled ourselves, nor have we turned from our wicked ways. We have not divorced ourselves from the influence of Satan, and we have not chosen to not tolerate. That's what the Bible says about the seven churches. You tolerated this. You did that. Now, as a congregation or as an individual, as a part of the body of Christ, you went along with it because you didn't do anything. Well, I didn't know what to do. Well, ask. He said, if you ask, I will tell you. And if we listen, we will know. And so oftentimes we listen and we then dismiss what he said because it's like, well, you know, I'll give you an example. About 6 years ago, I believe, you know, the Lord said, you should tell every mother, and any way you can, to no longer buy guns for their children to play with. Now, that's a hard thing to do, given the fact of the household I dwell in and the young man I have that must have, I don't know, 90, even though I don't agree with it. It happens. How fierce have I been against it? And I can get fierce, you know. I can bind something in the spirit realm and in the physical realm. Let's just be for real. But I didn't. Nor did I tell every mother. You know, you can't tell people how to spend their money. This was a thought. You know how boys gonna be, boys gonna play. No. We have to send a message, and I knew that. A message needs to be sent to the movies, to the manufacturers. We, as black people, will not buy any kind of weapons and have it in our homes. Now, there's some people that do that, but it's not a whole race of people. There's one here, and it's one there, and it's one here. And yet, if the ones that do, well, I would say divorce themselves from the ones that don't, it will change something. It will really change something. And I have to repent from that because I didn't. And I'm not saying that people are using guns now and shoot because I didn't tell them not to buy a gun. But I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And so I am guilty of being a part of this crisis of killing that we have because that's the part I could do. And I didn't. You know, I did not, and we have a voice, and God has given us a power in the voice. Jesus shed his blood so that our voice would shape the kingdom of the devil. How is that? Okay? We have authority to do that, and we don't use it as effectively as we can and should. And because of it, this world is in a crisis. And no one could get this crisis, could avoid this crisis, unless they have Christ. And so where do you, should you find Christ but in the church, whom he is the head of, and the congregation that the members of the body of Christ dwell in, worship in, and go forth from. And so we have to take responsibility, repent, and then be the power in of love in this time, in this season that we were required to be, that we have been empowered to be. And so many people, you'll see that on the activists, you know, you see on the news, they were for the nonviolence and trying to get the kids safe, and they were killed. They sacrificed themselves. They would not do it because they may shoot me, because they knew that that was a possibility, and they did not care. They wanted to do what it was they needed to do, I'll just say, as long as they could do it, and they did. We do not often take ourselves out of our comfort zone to do those things that Christ died for us to do, and that was to share the love of God abroad. He said, go and make disciples, not just tell people about Jesus, but walk with them so they understand who he is and how he does it and the way he does it and the fact that we abide in him, and give them teaching that empowers them to walk beyond the influences that the evil one had on them that have shaped some of their thinking that has to be transformed. So that's the thing. How often should we have taught something and we didn't? How often have we not spoken up in a situation that we knew, you know what, he shouldn't have done that. Now, we'll get on the phone and talk about it. You know, so-and-so should not have done it. Did you stand up and say, you should not do that, don't do it, or you were wrong, don't speak like that, or why are you projecting your error on somebody else, or why are you judging them and calling them names? You're no better. You're no better than they are. You're just as big a, I will say you are, you were just as big a sinner as anybody else. And so you should have compassion. Where is your mercy? Sometimes if you ask somebody that was in the wrong, really, according to Christ, how many times has you said, where is your mercy? You know how much mercy God showed you and me? Should we not share that and show that same level of mercy to someone else, of forgiveness, of compassion, of kindness, of long-suffering, of patience, of joy? Should we? That's what our lives should be motivated by. Good conversation. Anybody else? Yeah. Hello.
You know, I was also thinking that, you know, even in, like you were saying, Adam, talking about Adam, and we look still even today that man's still not satisfied. God has given us Earth, and they want to take over the other planet.
Yeah. Yep. think, you know, God take everything, you know, he's sitting down now. But when they start going, the rest of his universe is like, no, you can't leave. Get back down there. No. You're not going to come and corrupt everything else that I created. Right. You know, but anyway, that's
now they want to live on another planet. You didn't gave them money. Now they want to come and invade them. It's just unbelievable.
Yep.
I think about when they were building the Tower of Babel, you know.
Yes, and, Babel.
Yeah. Babel. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And I said, now they want to take over other planets. Well, do Lord.
I hear you. And there is no limit to the lust in the heart of men to be God. And that's what that is.
Yes,
that thirst
for
power and authority. And, I mean, they long for it to the point of just, good insight. Yeah, good interaction. Yeah. And
that's
what we want to do.
I couldn't think of anybody that I came in contact with yesterday. Even though I was at the hospital, I really didn't come into contact, you know, as far as talking to someone or anything.
Well, you don't
like
even
that.
Have to talk to them. I mean,
I was sitting in the room. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, you know, because understandable, you know, when you're waiting and you're just sitting, but you still, people still see you. Do you smile and say hello? You know, do you speak to people? Do you, you know, even compliment if you see something. And sometimes if something we really like, we won't say anything. You know, like I think I said, oh, I like that hairstyle. That's sharp. You know, those are bad shoes. Whatever. Or, you know what, I can't imagine doing your job. You know, and so just interacting with people that give them a hope, give them a love, give them a sense of acknowledging, because people want to be acknowledged. And I'm not saying, you know, blow them up, you know, compliment, but just do we express ourselves the way we should in love, in the situation. And then to ask, even before you go to wherever you go on every day, you know, ask God, whatever it is you need for me to do, do it. And I know sometimes I get on Apostle's nerve. we be riding in the car. And especially when we're on the way to church, I don't see nothing wrong. I have, you know, if I got my window down, I'll go, come on around the corner. We have this. Well, you just not do that. It's like, well, why? You know, there was a couple people sitting on the porch when we were having, maybe it was a picnic. I don't know. We were doing something, worshiping outside. You know, I said, come on to 150, 121st Street. And I hollered her out the door. You know, I waved. She said, would you just please not? Or Timothy, Grandma. I said, what? You know, I said, sometimes people just want to know they can. And I was somewhere, and I said, you know what? I would love to see you at church tomorrow. And a person hadn't been there. I said, come every night, then whatever you want. Actually, it was JJ. I said, come on. And he came. Sometimes people just want an invitation, want a spot, want to know, you know, you're always welcome to come. They know that, and we'll say, well, they always know we always come. No, but you give them a personal invitation. I said, you come, you know, and I think he really has fun, actually. But sometimes we just forget to really do the obvious thing. And God is really... I don't say showing me or impressing upon me or something, I don't know, you know, to do that. Where I am now is really, you know, it is really, 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 really a journey. It is really a journey. But there's this Caucasian woman, and actually she goes and she, because she can't smoke in the building, so she sits outside and smokes, you know, wow. But anyway, and so I was getting out the car. Well, you know how I get out the car, in the scooter, whatever, whatever. And I was coming up the thing. She said, excuse me. I said, yes. She said, would you mind if I called you mother? And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, she looked older than me. Okay. And so I said, that's not a problem at all. You know, so every time I go, she say, here come my mama. I said, yes, daughter, yeah, I am. You know, but that's what she need. I don't know where she got it. And I'm you know, driving in. I'm saying, and I'm steady thinking in my mind, do I look like my mama? And I doubt that. But, and like I say, she look every bit of 60 something. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know how old she is. But this is what she said. There was something she saw. I don't know what it was. And I really, I'm not going to say almost got offended. I don't want to offend it or nothing like that. But, you know, I was amazed and wondering, you know, because this is not a community center. That's what it is. So you got 50 lives that are really in situations that are challenging, and they're in transition and that sort of thing. And
You may remind her of her mom, or it's just that,
okay.
You know, some people just have that type of respect for older people. I know sometimes when I'm out and people, you know, parents are with them, I don't really know how old the person is. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, I say, oh, okay, mama, come on. You know, I'm going to hold the door for you, or you know, mm-hmm. I speak to the visual and then we're talking, and then I'll tell them, okay, you know, take care of mama now. You know, or, mm-hmm. you know, you moving a little too fast for mama. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, just certain little gestures, you know, like that. But, mm. you know, they don't get offended or anything,
yeah,
you know, but you may remind her right. of her mom, you know.
Okay. I doubt it, but okay, because, you know, I don't think like I look like a mom, but it's okay. And
it is
okay.
It was something.
Well, okay.
You know.
And that's what
I ask her.
And you're,
what's
it
hilarious? You imagine that in the spirit of a mom.
mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all. Okay. I'm just saying that it was nothing. I never had conversation with her. You know, we go and we come. You know how we go and we come. And it's purposeful. Get in the car, take this thing back upstairs, come back and go. And yet that was the response that I received. And so as a result, I'll take a liberty now. I say, yeah, you know you ought to quit smoking too, don't you? Okay.
She opened the door.
And they're done. You want a mama. Now, I'll give you a mama. Okay.
You might be the very one who stopped smoking because of you. You might be the very woman, you know.
Well, I know I've been there, done that. But, you know,
God,
you know, it's like...
God put you in her heart, you know? Put you in
you know
her
what,
heart
and I do believe...
Lock that door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that all things are purposeful. And I think that
mm-hmm.
our time here has been that sort of thing. And what we end up finding is each one of us has interacted with somebody in a way that God gets glory. And that I am grateful for. And it is, like I say, because people are in the time of transition. And I think that even as whatever situation and circumstances we find ourselves in, God has a purpose for us, and he will get glory out of this if we let him. And it is a choice. It is a choice. I can be a grumbelly, or I can be a grateful person. And I'm grateful for life. And I'm grateful for opportunity. And we have to give that gratitude forward. So everybody we see, and I will smile and speak to the devil. I really will. and mean mm-hmm. it. And mean
yeah.
it. So I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you've done. You know, I will smile and I'll speak because I believe you need to be acknowledged as a creation of God. I see you, then I have to see God because you could not exist if he did not create you. So we had, we saw a squirrel that God showed me this little squirrel, and it looked like his back leg was hurt or broke or something. I don't know. And the thing was moving so slow, he moved about four steps, and he would stop, and then he'd move again, and he stopped. And I was sitting in the car watching him. And so when they got back in the car, I showed him to Tim. I said, see that squirrel? It had taken him like 20 minutes to go 3 feet. And I said, I think his back leg is something wrong. He said, he hopped out the car. I said, where you going? He said, I'm going to go get it. I said, whoa, wait a minute. And so he said, well, we can't leave it. I said, well, hold on. And this, you know, his mom, absolutely not. And so I said, well, we do have a towel. I guess we could put, I said, I'll tell you what, we will call animal control and let them know we think we see a wounded squirrel. And that's how we will help, if you will, because we don't know how to handle it or, you know, what will happen if you go to hurt an animal. You know, what are you going to do? Or if it's got a mama mm-hmm. somewhere, what? We don't know. So what we do know to do is, you know, to call animal control to let them know there's an thing out there. But just seeing things, and I wasn't going to do anything about it. But his first response was action. And it's like, whoa. And then actually my fear stopped his action. Because we, mm-hmm. well, mama get back in the car, but you know, but his first response was to help, and that's what our first response should be when we see woundedness, is to jump into action. And actually, God would make a way, because he does, you know. And then because he reminded me, well, you got this towel in the back, you could throw it over, because it was a baby squirrel, but anyway, mm-hmm. and then, you know. You ain't putting them in this car. And he was like, okay, I'll be back in the COVID. Y'all got a squirrel out of here. I don't know. You know, but do something. I guess that's what, you know, that whole situation was saying. When you see something, do something. Yeah. Because we can have that power. Even if we say, God, mm-hmm. what should I do? So when he first said, I said, well, we're going to pray for the squirrel.
That is.
But Timothy right. said, that squirrel don't need mm-hmm. prayer. He needs help. I said, okay. Right. You know, so this is how we know there is. He's so, right. He need help. And sometimes that's what we do. We see and go, oh, Lord, we pray for him. No, get up off your knees and go do something. And I'm not saying none of you don't. Stay on your knees and do something. How is that? So I'm not saying don't pray. Or pray while you get up and while you're doing it. You say pray without ceasing. But it's just something like Minister Pat said, there's a more excellent way. There's more that we can do. And when we do this more, we will see the world start to change. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like I told you one time, I saw this, I think it's a crow. You know, sometimes I think that's what they be around here, them black. You know, they were being drove sometimes. So I went out and I saw this quote, and he was trying to get this squirrel. And it was like you say, it was a baby squirrel. And I stood there and I said, the blood of Jesus.
Wow.
Leave that squirrel alone. And I stood out there for a little while. And you know what? And the squirrel.
Wow.
That way went. But that crow looked at me. And then said, this crazy woman. But go after that squirrel.
Oh, Lord.
I sure did. I guess I'm like, damn. I mean, that's why I looked at his head.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yes, I said, Lord, don't let that fall to that baby.
Man, amen.
So sometimes we do some crazy things.
Yes, that's the truth. And yet, you know, I know that it's so crazy. So I challenge you to do something crazy today. Go outside to something not super crazy, okay, but divinely crazy, and go outside your comfort and reach out to someone. Anybody else? And fellas, absolutely. Okay. Well, we will continue next week. And our next chapter is the question of peacemaker. The peacemaker. All right. So we have some scriptures about us as peacemakers. All right.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Enjoy the
meeting. God bless you. Love you.
Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Enjoy the fellowship. Amen. And welcome to all our visitors. Amen.